Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Have your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good Tuesday out there, everybody. That's right. It's Tuesday. It's not Monday. I'm going to keep reminding you because I need the reminder.
Me too. I had to say that tomorrow was Wednesday, and I was really confused.
Yeah. Melissa and I have a bunch of fun things lined up for you throughout this day. We're going to get to a bunch of stuff this morning, kicking things off with our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. In the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're going to do some other fun entertainment news as well. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll finish up our entertainment news. We've also got good stories, then a right stories. Plenty more to talk about here. We'll catch you up on a couple of local things as well, as we always like to do around here.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about our had a game on our radio station last week. We'll catch you up on that score. And we have FRM Music this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
FRM Fest is back.
That's the big party.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And this Friday, we kind of kick things off a little bit in the way here with Brad Jansen joining us.
Oh, nice.
So we'll have FRM Friday right here on Friday, and that'll lead perfectly into FRM Fest this Saturday at Robinson Park. Looking forward to diving into that and talking about that with you, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then Morning Magazine going strong today. We kick our week off with, in part one, Jim Benna. He is the district administrator for the Port Edwards School Public Schools.
Okay.
Looking forward to talking with him. Seems like a good time of year to talk to, but you know, these guys I talk to.
they don't have anything going on.
No. Southwood County YMCA joins us in part two. Looking forward to that. That's going to be fantastic.
Nice.
Earlier, as in 2 seconds ago, I told you that we were going to go over the score from this past Friday. You guys remember
that? It's Tuesday.
You remember that? Like ages ago when I brought that up? The Assumption boys took on the Pittsville Panthers this past Friday. And for those that did not hear, Assumption was victorious, 23-20.
Oh, close game.
Yeah. It's been a good one. There were a couple of really good close games this weekend. And again, we will have a great lineup of action for you this week. We'll get into more of that when we get along here. Looking forward to covering all that for you. And then you may remember that if you don't, we're going to catch you up right now. Over the Back Fence has been moved.
Oh, that's right.
Starting this week, right at 11, As Goes Wisconsin will be going for their 3-hour stint there.
Okay.
With Christine Bailey. And I encourage you to check the show out if you have not already. Christine's got some Wisconsin Rapids tie-ins, some Central Wisconsin tie-ins and everything. And does a really nice job with that show. Saturdays will now have Over the Back Fence on them, along with the Sunshine Polka Show.
Nice.
Yeah. Over the Back Fence is being moved from 11 to noon on Saturday.
Okay.
So get your calls ready. Keep sending us your items for the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
We will have it all there for you this Saturday from 11 to noon, leading you perfectly into the Sunshine Polka Show. Arguably the greatest show ever made.
Yes.
It's a bit of a debate, but I personally...
Some would argue.
Gets my number one vote. Gets my number one vote. Tim, join Tim for that this weekend. It's going to be really good. We'll talk more about it as we go along here. Now, one of the things that you may know, well, if Over the Back Fence isn't there, well, then what happens to, like, some of the interviews you would do on our show? Mm-hmm. Say, like, beginning of every month, which we're in right now.
Yes.
We have Bill Heck on with our monthly veterans update.
Yes.
Well, that just means Bill's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour today.
Nice.
Yeah. Perfect. That works out. We're going to keep doing things like that. And it may work that this is the best spot for Bill to join us is 9 o'clock and, you know, the morning show. We love that. That's fantastic. Uh-huh. Otherwise, if it doesn't work, we'll work around it. We can always record segments, too, and play them at a later date. But we will keep keeping you up to date on these things.
Yes.
That's why we consider part of our job.
Mm-hmm.
And and there's plenty more going on. We'll get to as we'll go along here at the station. But Melissa, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was pretty busy, actually. I spent a lot of time emptying boxes and moving boxes.
Yeah.
And filling totes and then moving totes. And I realized that, James, I don't know how I did it, but I have so much stuff.
Yeah.
I have way too much stuff. More stuff than anybody ever needs.
Why? Nobody ever realizes how much they have until they have to move.
No. And then what do you do with all that stuff?
Right.
Like, I threw away stuff.
Yeah? Good on you.
I know.
Good on you.
It was hard.
No, I know it is. Yeah, yeah, it's not easy. Yeah.
It was hard, but I had to do it. The socks good. Had holes in them. It was time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I ran into that this weekend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I did not realize that so many things could be tough to let go of.
And who would think socks that have holes in them would be difficult to get rid of, but...
We put such an interesting energy into inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to them all the time. We treat them like, they're part of the family. Like they have a heartbeat or a mindset or something like that. And no.
They don't. They don't care.
I let go of Maggie this past week.
Oh.
Like, it sold her off and everything, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm thinking about, like, okay, you know, just very practical. This is what I do. This is what you do with a used, you know, vehicle right. that is no use to you anymore or whatever
you can't
and everything.
Just park it in your yard.
I almost did the whole, as she, like, the person's on the train and they say goodbye and the other person's, like, chasing the train as it goes. I almost did that with my
their arms outstretched.
My inanimate object vehicle that has no thoughts or feelings whatsoever. But we do that with things mm-hmm. all the time. With all that going on, were you able to have a little like a recharge moment, be able to relax a little bit?
Yeah, we had dinner with some friends on Sunday night, and then I got a tour of a barn. That was fun.
Nice.
And yeah, it was a pretty good weekend, all things considered.
Good, very good to hear.
How about you?
It was good. It was good. Similar to yourself, got a lot of rearranging done, a lot of little things that wanted to get done throughout the last couple of weeks, and finally were able to have some time to do it.
That extra day helped.
It really did. It really did. And actually, you just set me up, because what I wanted to bring up was something that I don't know if it's a passion project of yours, Melissa. I wouldn't call it that necessarily, but it is something that I do notice the fire in you come out when it comes up, and it's the 4-day work week.
Mm.
And it, as we have one kind of self-imposed right here with the government holiday and mm-hmm. everything, got me thinking about that, looking at this week ahead and going into the weekend, honestly. And so I kind of like treated it that way. Like, okay, Labor Day is a Labor Day. Labor Day is a good holiday. I'm not taking the day lightly or anything. I don't look at it like I do Memorial Day or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Labor Day, I can, in my head, create, okay, it's just a day. Just a day that I'm going to make sure that in my head, that's the way I'm looking at this. So I'm going to treat the weekend like I work 4 days a week, and I'm going to treat this week like that. And kind of the weekend, I felt like I got more done, and mm-hmm. I also, and I hope you guys are sitting down out there, I had a life this weekend. Like,
really?
I did things, yes.
Oh, wow.
I saw my friends this weekend.
Nice.
Like, yes, I did different things. It was great.
Awesome.
I did realize, though, something among my group of friends, though, because there's the five of us, mm-hmm. and don't really hang out with a ton of other people outside of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do this very often, where we get together, the five of us, like, once or twice a year. Chris and I, different factions of us, will get together throughout the whole year.
Right,
but
right.
as far as the five of us all in one room, one mm-hmm. time, only happens twice a year. One of our friends that isn't with us, that doesn't hang out with us as much anymore or anything, he was our wild card. He was the guy that you could always count on with the wildness and everything. And I'm noticing, without him, I'm trying to be that guy. Like,
ooh.
I don't know if I'm trying to be, or maybe I just am that guy. I don't.
And you were overshadowed previously, now that the
it's weird. It's weird.
The role is open to you.
I don't think of myself that way, but it's weird how this stuff happens. It's there are all these little kind of things like that. Whether it's that's kind of weird, or how we treat inanimate objects is kind of weird, or mm-hmm. how this morning I did a quick run through to empty the garbages. And I'm going, and I do this every single time. And I've done this my whole life. Women's bathroom. I know that you and I are the only ones here, Melissa. I just walked past you in the studio. You were recording. I know you're not in there. I knock for a good minute, at least a minute, before I go in there. Then I go in there, and it's like I'm going in, and I'm stealing like nuclear codes or something like that. Like, I'm in there, and I'm all, Jimmy Spy. And
this might speak to a deeper issue you have, James.
Oh, you think?
I'm thinking so, because this sounds pretty serious.
It kind of does. I'm in my
it's
head.
It's just a bathroom.
I walk out of there. I go to the guy's bathroom. I barely kick the door open, grab the garbage.
Like, don't even think about it.
In my head, I'm wondering, like, is this ever going to stop with me? Am I ever going to have a day in my life where I'm not like this, where going into the bathroom or anything like that?
I'm going to play a mean trick on you one of these days. Put a women's bathroom sign on your bathroom door. A very obvious one. Right in the middle of the door.
The show kicks off at 7:04. Melissa's like, where's James? You go out there. I'm just staring at both doors. I don't know which one to go into. I really got to go, and I don't know which one to go into. Somebody help. We're going to take a break on that moment. Before we do, I did want to get to one quick it's sort of a That Ain't Right story, sort of just a funny, weird story, but it kind of fits the mold of what the morning has already started for us, Melissa. We go to, where else will we go to? Florida. Yes. A Florida woman who feared someone was repeatedly trespassing in her backyard said she was surprised to finally catch the culprit on camera, an unusually large iguana.
Oh,
Florida problems.
Oh, man.
Sherry Sothby said she had heard strange noises in her Marco Island backyard on multiple occasions and thought someone might be trespassing repeatedly on her property. Sothby said her suspicions turned to the animal kingdom when she found droppings in her yard. The homeowner said that she was shocked to see the animal behind the constant noises. It was a large iguana, she shouted. Ella Gador, a graduate student at Florida Gulf Coast University, confirmed the animal recorded by Sothby appears to be a particularly large green iguana. Iguanas are an invasive species in Florida and were introduced via the exotic pet trade. Alfredo Furman, a trapper contracted to remove iguanas on Marco Island, said the population of the reptiles has been booming in recent years. He said he does not expect the population on the island to ever fully be eradicated. So that part, not as good. Not as good as that part. It's interesting how animals are able to adapt, but it's also always sad to think of whenever an invasive species is brought in, you can guarantee that there is a species that probably has been dwindled, if not taken out.
Right.
It's a shame. Mm-hmm. That lady, though, that is an interesting moment to have that happen.
Think somebody's breaking into your backyard. Surprise, lizard!
Just a lizard. Just wondering if you got any pellets.
Just a big old lizard.
Any pellets in there? Maybe a nice warm rock I could listen to?
Lettuce.
We'll take a quick commercial break and get into our National Day of Calendar. When we come back, on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. And you've got Melissa and James here with you, 7:19 on the clock. And let's take a look at some fun ones for today on our National Day of Calendar for this September 6, 2022. Almost said August.
I almost did it. You caught it in time, though. Okay, good correction.
Does it count if you catch it, but everybody knows you caught yourself? Does it count? It is National Coffee Ice Cream Day. Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Rejoice. Please. Oh, it's so good.
It is very good. Who knew that coffee and ice cream together would just be phenomenal?
As a kid, I wouldn't have thought it, but as an adult, it's one of my favorite types of ice cream. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing that would make it better is to put some chocolate chip cookie dough in there.
Yeah. It really makes anything better, chocolate chip cookie dough. I'm okay with that in almost everything in life. Mm-hmm. It is the Great Egg Toss Day. Remember this one? It's a popular
egg toss.
One. I have no idea what this is. I don't know.
Haven't you ever done an egg toss?
Yeah. It was in grade school, though.
Yeah.
So this day celebrates the sport of egg tossing. Did you know that the egg toss game has a world championship?
Wow.
Yes, while most people find it difficult to believe, there is a sport called egg toss. Egg toss is usually associated with Easter in the U.S., but it is now so celebrated throughout the year. So let us look at how this game is played and other interesting facts about egg toss game. I do like games that are very easy to remember, are very easy to play, and the rules are very simple.
Right.
Like the game.
Toss and catch.
Yes.
Take a step back.
Yeah.
Toss and catch.
The World Egg Throwing Federation, that is an official thing, is an official body that regulates the World Championship. The World Egg Throwing Federation Championship is held in Swatton, England, each year on the last Sunday in June. But I don't have to tell you sports fans, no, you guys know that one.
Naturally. You're
glued to your TV every year toward that. The commercial breaks is what I go for, though. That's why I watch it. So
sponsored by the Cadbury.
Yeah, really, with the Cadbury be all over this thing. In 1322, the egg toss game originated in England.
Wow.
I had no idea it was that old. None.
1322. That must have had a booming year for chickens.
It's got to be one of the oldest games on record. Has to be. Along with like racing somebody, like seeing who's fastest.
Tag.
Yeah, things like
and
that.
Mahjong.
Yeah. Ah, yes. I got to think this game didn't, it had to have been, I think you really hit something on the head there. It had to be a big egg boom. It's not like people were wasting food back in the 1300s.
No, not unless they were rich.
Yeah.
Which, they're a very small percentage of those.
I can't prove it. I also believe that this game started on accident. I really like just like trying to hurry and
right.
trying to get eggs, you know, transported in a fast way, and they realized they had a game here or something. Johnny Del Foley's egg throwing record gets a place in the Guinness Book of World Records in 1978. And in 2004, the Egg Throwing Federation was set up.
Wow. Okay.
A couple of other ones for you. Today is another look around day. It is a day to get rid of some of the clutter. This is the best opportunity to go through your belongings and take another look, literally. Rake through your clutter and see what's fit to reuse, gift, donate, or even sell. Now, Melissa, you were kind of forced into this situation with moving and everything.
Yeah, and I debated. You can't donate socks with holes in them, you just can't. And there's other things you really just can't donate or reuse either. I mean, I was honestly, it was really hard to throw some of that stuff away, but you just can't always reuse it or donate it. That's why I have so much stuff.
There's only so much you can do and you can take on yourself. And, you know, you do as much as you can. And hopefully you can even do a little more than that sometimes.
Yes.
But yeah, with certain things, there's only so much you can do.
But this is a good day to look around and see what you can. Clean out that closet that you've been avoiding for a year.
Feels like a good time of year to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I know that spring cleanup and then, you know, right in the beginning of fall, those early days of autumn, which I know we're not at yet, but we're getting closer to it. Seems like a good times to do that.
Yeah, and I think the Wood County Sweep is coming up on the 10th, where you can get rid of hazardous cleaning materials and things of that nature that you can't just throw away.
Big thank you to everybody that volunteers and helps out with Clean Sweep every year.
Mm-hmm.
It is Telephone Tuesday.
Ooh.
We're going to actually get into this one when we come back from your news break, Melissa. We'll get into it a little bit more, but picture coming into the office after a long weekend and you look at your phone only to find that your voicemail is positively bursting.
Yeah.
Overwhelmed yet? Don't be. September 6th is officially a day to day notoriously for surprising more phone calls than usual, making itself heard just after Labor Day. Telephone Tuesday is a trendy holiday created based on a clear spike in telephone calls to businesses and organizations.
Interesting.
Let's see here. Telephone Tuesday is now known as a powerful business tool, and the telephone is known as a great instrument for trade. Very close to Black Friday and Cyber Monday, this day is caught amongst the madness of the busy season.
You know what's next, don't you? Texting Tuesday.
Yeah, well,
Or texting Thursday, maybe?
I think texting Thursday, either one of those will work, but I'm a little surprised that this is still a thing. There are so few people, it seems like, that use the phone for calling anymore.
Well, I mean, scammers do.
Yeah. Very true.
But legitimate businesses do as well.
And it's still, you know, our best way of... Email's great. Texting's great, all of that. But if you need, like, instant conversation, you need to be able to, like, find things out in real time, right this second.
Right.
No holdup. You know, outside of maybe Zoom or Skype or those things, and even those aren't as reliable. Nothing is still as reliable as the telephone.
No, that's true.
It's funny, we joke about things evolving and moving on and stuff. I think we've come as far as we've come to losing the telephone. At least until something, you know, some other technology comes across and everything.
Teleporting.
You know, until that gets around science. Jeez. Lazy on this one. Get on the teleporting science. It'll never happen. I don't know. I actually think of all the sci-fi things.
Not in our lifetimes.
Of all the sci-fi throw-around theories, I believe that time travel will happen a lot sooner than that will happen.
Matter transportation.
Yeah. The idea of that, when you think about it. Collecting all of our matter and transporting it through this veil, and then poop, we pop up right in the other place.
Yeah. With all back of our in the same order that you were
completely
in.
Completely fine.
I do not want to be the guinea pig for that.
Nope. Hey, you know what? I'll walk it, everybody. I'm good. I got a bike. I'm good. I don't need the teleport. Finally, for this one, it is National Read a Book Day.
Hmm.
This day, all book lovers rejoice and joy. Bringing in new worlds to life, books enlighten us and transport us on exciting adventures. They can challenge our perspectives on the human experience in ways unmatched by any other medium. In a world indulged by technology, National Read a Book Day encourages us to silence the noise and turn the pages for a while.
Hmm.
Be your imagination's best friend today.
Yeah.
TV, movies, podcasts, all these things are awesome. They're great. But they don't do what reading does.
Yeah.
Maybe younger generations, it might be different if they grow up without as reading as much. But I think for all of us, pretty much, that have been here a while, reading is always going to be that first thing that where you really got to use your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You were forced to. And it was good. It was a good thing. It was a positive thing. It made us work out our imaginations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to try to picture what you're reading. And the visualization of that, you know, it starts when you're reading to children when they're young, and they with picture books where they can see the pictures and you read the text along with it. And then that helps them evolve into being able to be imaginative readers when they're adults.
Very, very well said. It does make me think of a very heated debate question, though.
Oh, what's that?
And I know we don't like to normally get into these kind of things, especially this early in the morning, Melissa. But
it's pretty early.
It is kind of early, but I got to every once in a while do this. So, is listening to an audiobook considered reading?
Yes.
Okay. End of debate. All right. I actually thought I thought we'd have a little pushback. I wasn't sure where you were coming from with this one. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't really get really bent out of shape about this one way or the other. But I know we had some students, two classes in a row, and this is a week in between, but still, two classes back to back, where me and Brian, the other student, our other teacher, are walking into class, and that's what they're bickering about. It's not reading if you're not actually using a bookmark, or it's not reading if you're not doing this and that. And I mean, to each their own. I'm not going to get into this one. There's a lot of hills I'll die on. This is not one of them. I do not care. You know, whatever, to each their own.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take in the book?
Right.
That's what I want to know. Did you help that author sell a book or something? These are the things I care more about than the great debate of is listening to an audiobook reading or not. Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, what's the big deal?
If you think about it, when you're reading a book yourself, your voice is in your head reading that book to you. If you're listening to another voice read that book to you, how is that any different?
Hmm?
And for people who have, you know, vision issues that can't read, that, or they're blind, or they're dyslexic, or, you know, I mean, there's so many things that can make reading just an unsurmountable challenge of actually eyes on letters on a page.
I would never say that a blind person doesn't read, you know,
right.
When they're taking their hands over Braille or anything. So.
Or taking in audio. I mean, so there's a lot of different ways to read, and I think audiobooks are a wonderful way for people to take in books. I love listening to audiobooks when I'm driving.
One of the things that I kind of like enjoy about this is we're having the discussion. That means people are still taking in books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of Switzerland on this one. I kind of in the middle and just kind of enjoying the fact that people are still talking about taking in books one way or another.
Well, think about the debate that started when Kindles or e-readers first started. It's like, oh, well, that's not a book. You're not turning pages.
Yeah.
Like, well, kind of, you can. It's electronic, but it's still a book.
People are still reading. That author still sold a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Do I prefer the paper copy? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, yes. My answer is yes, unless I'm driving. I need the audio.
I like that, though. And we have, you know, there's so much to celebrate about this, too. So it is looking at this from apartmenttherapy.com. Listening to audiobooks is the same as reading because you still have to listen word for word to make up the narrative, says Louisa Smith, editor and founder of Epic Book Society.
Yeah. And it's another great day to celebrate our libraries. We have amazing libraries in our area and all across this nation.
Yeah.
And it's a free resource.
Encourage you to also look into a lot of the local authors we have around and help support them. There's a lot of really good ones out there. There's a lot of really good books out there that I know that I don't know many people that don't have a list of books to read, you know?
I got about six.
Yeah, that's around where my list is.
No, like six lists.
Oh, okay. You got me beat that. Okay, yeah, no, definitely don't have that. But that's great.
Well, because I have people in my life that enjoy different types of books. So like from my brother, I'll get sci-fi or fantasy or like autobiographies. Or political discussions. From my high school girlfriends, it's a lot of the latest novels or youth, like the YA level reads, and just some of the deeper philosophical but still novels kind of books. So, I mean, and then there's me that just sometimes likes to get fluffy mystery novels.
Nice to get them every once in a while.
Through Libby at the library. It's perfect.
Go stop by a library, help support a local author. There's plenty of great things you could do to celebrate National Book Day. We're going to play Melissa's News. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Hope you're feeling good out there on this Tuesday. Listen, James here with you. 7:38 on the clock. Love that song. Fun stuff coming up this morning. We're going to get into it being National Telephone Day in a second here. I had a little bit of time this weekend, Melissa, to catch up on some shows. And I was able to watch the newest on Amazon, the new Lord of the Rings TV series.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, how was that?
It was good. Okay. I mean, it definitely was good. If you're a fan of the Lord of the Rings, you're going to like this show.
Because that's Ring of Power?
Yeah, the Rings of Power. It's like set like a billion years before like the Lord of the Rings we know and everything.
Okay.
Part of what I was curious about was watching was how the storytelling would go, how the story itself would go, because it's not a J.R. Tolkien article or story. It's it's something that was created in his vision, kind of.
Okay.
Taking from all of his writings and creating this new story that's kind of a prequel, but it's a new story.
Okay.
And, you know, there's some actors in it I wanted to see in that. So I was going into that. And everything I watch, I dissect. It's just the way my brain works.
Right.
I could not tell you much of the storyline because I was so caught up in, like, they spent like literally $1 billion on this show, and it actually looks like it.
Wow.
It's one of the prettiest shows I've ever seen in my life. Everything is so smoothly done. The CGI, the graphics, the colors, everything is very pleasing to the eyes, very smooth. It's also kind of a little distracting. Like
you're just so distracted from the prettiness of the settings.
Well, I'm sitting there, like, because for me, I have to really, like, a story like this, I got to really lock in because I don't know these characters. I don't know the names.
Right.
Nobody's named John and Joe. Everybody's
all really long names that you can't pronounce.
I'm like, I got a scorecard next to me as I'm trying to keep up with who's who and everything. And that's just the way I'm not that smart, let's be honest. It's not always easy for me to follow along with these things, but so I'm trying to follow along and keep up with the storyline, but I keep getting distracted by, my God, I've never seen that look that way before, or I don't want to spoil anything, but I've never seen like this look that way. And you know, the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings movies are iconic. They're great. They're almost flawless in some ways.
Well, because the settings on those are so, they're also just gorgeous, and the cinematography is phenomenal.
Tell you, this show has a lot of that going for it, and at the same time, it's you almost have to like kind of take a second and be like, okay, I got to focus. I got to really look at the characters here and everything.
Can I rewind that? Watch that segment again?
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened. I was too distracted by the pretty.
I was rewinding things just to look at the pretty, just to look at some of the visual effects and some of the things that they're able to do with it. It's fascinating. It's really good. It's very good.
Well, but to be fair, shows like that now where they incorporate so many layers and levels and characters, like, for instance, The Witcher.
Yeah.
I would need to watch that again before I watched the next season. I was reading the books as well here recently, but the books are not the show. Like, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not even kind of remotely. They're remotely connected, and some of the stories are in the show. And you do understand why The Witcher is the way it is after you read the books. You're like, oh, okay, so they're just telling little snippets of stories that happen throughout.
Yeah.
But it's hard to keep track of it. I would want to
that first season
keep a scorecard.
That first season of The Witcher especially, they didn't do I think they did a disservice to the audience by not telling you what was not giving you clear indications of what a flashback is. Wayne's World used to do this thing where diddle 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 when you're going back in time. Like, I really think
we need a sound.
Every show should have some, like, turn it into black and white, you know, change the color scheme.
Or fade into it somehow. Some kind of transition.
I think some shows try to outdo themselves creatively sometimes, like overthinking things. And like, there's certain stuff that the audience kind of has this little nod, you know, wink to the audience. Hey, this is a flashback, you know, kind of give them that, you know. So today is the Telephone Tuesday. There's always a big spike after Labor Day weekend because everything's open again. Mm-hmm. And it's the official start of fall, as far as like that kind of thing goes. And I do think, too, for some, I don't know if everybody realizes this, but this is kind of like the last like sort of free weekend we have until the new year almost. September's not as busy maybe, but... November sure is.
Mm-hmm.
No, especially the end of November.
Well, yeah, because we're practically into the holiday season here.
And then December is obviously as busy as it is. And then it's not until January. This is kind of the last weekend we kind of have that looking ahead. So there's that part of it, too, for businesses and people looking for business, people looking for whatever it is that you are at.
Right.
Like me looking for a vehicle right now, things like that. Mm-hmm. Here are a few phone-related questions to help celebrate the day. Excluding your own, how many phone numbers do you currently have memorized?
Do they have to be current phone numbers?
I got four or five I can think of, and it expands if you include old telephone numbers. Like my phone number from when I was a kid, I still remember that.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I can probably come up with 10 to 12, honestly. Because numbers are something that just stick in my head, for better or worse.
Right on.
Phone numbers. Not like, you know, and yes, phone numbers are practical, obviously. If I need to call somebody, we carry around phone books in our phones now. You don't really need to memorize them, but it's handy to have them memorized.
A new poll asked 7,000 Americans, and almost no one knows more than five or six anymore. So way to go, Mel. You're way ahead of the app. 9% said zero. 48% said between one and three. 23% said four to six. And only 8% know more than that, more than 10.
Wow.
Not surprising. Not surprising. I will say, it doesn't seem like we've really had a lot of like terrible situations involving this so far. I do wonder, though, you know, if this is one of those things we're going to rue the day, you know, that kind of thing.
I had a boss make fun of me because when I worked at the high school, I told him, because I would memorize teachers' extensions. Because when calls come in and I need to transfer stuff quick, I just, you know, or I need to call them to check on something in a classroom, it was just easier to have them memorized than to have to look them up because I was so crunched for time. But I told him one time, I'm like, yeah, when I can't fall asleep at night, instead of counting sheep, I go through teachers' phone numbers in my head. He told me I was absolutely bonkers.
Kind of hard to argue. Kind of hard to argue that one. People were also asked to name the top features the perfect phone would have. And the number one answer was caller ID. For every number, even businesses and random numbers you don't recognize.
That would be handy.
Yeah, and dang near impossible.
Yeah.
A few more that made the top 10 include uncrackable screen, a drunk text filter, and a feature that locks social media if you've been on it too long.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
I know the social media thing, they have similar things. Like, I have friends of mine that use parental control on their phones or their tablets so that they're not on it too long.
Okay.
It works. Grown adults doing this. But yeah, if it works, it works. Yeah.
It does. And if you got to set your own boundaries that way, more power to you.
I think as far as a perfect phone goes, those I'm no different than anybody else. That's what I would have on mine. The uncrackable screen is maybe a little ahead of the whole caller ID thing.
Yeah.
It's usually these people, if it's a scammer, if it's a phone call like that, they, like, half the time they leave a message, half the time they don't. But if they don't leave a message, you know, I don't have a lot of calls that come in that are spam that aren't spam, so I don't really deal with this as much.
Mm-hmm. But now they can impersonate other phone numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a call from my high school office not that long ago, and it showed up on my caller ID as my high school office.
Yeah, that's
and because the number is programmed into my phone, it showed the caller, you know, it showed that number and that it was my office work or whatever it was I had it in there as, and I'm answering it, and here it's a scam call. Mm. It's like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's messed up. That's a bridge too far for me. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Did you barbecue at all this weekend, Mel?
Yeah, we did. We had ribeye on the grill.
Oh, and that sounds good.
And asparagus.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, that is really good.
Grilled asparagus, yes.
Yeah, it is.
So delicious.
Is it still good for you?
We're going to go with yes.
Yes? Okay. Because I really need to know, because I don't eat a lot of greens, and that's one of the few I do. A poll for the end of grilling season had people... hold up a second. There is no end of grilling season,
no,
okay?
You can grill year-round.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just go ahead and put a pin in that one. We'll move it away. So the season had people put different cookout foods in one of four categories. The best of the best, the ones that are good but not great, ones that we think are just okay, and foods we'd rather skip altogether.
Hmm.
So here are the four categories and which foods made each one. Want to start at the top on this one.
Yeah.
The best foods for a barbecue: burgers, hot dogs, cheese, grilled chicken, chicken wings, steak, ribs, potato salad, corn on the cob, and beef brisket.
Okay.
Yeah, I got no problem with any of that list.
Some of those things you aren't actually grilling.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah.
Potato salad.
Don't believe you're grilling cheese.
I mean, unless it's on your burger.
Right. Yeah, I got no problem with that list.
No, that's a good list. I eat all of those foods, or most of them.
Mm-hmm. The good but not great foods: pasta salad, pork chops, kebabs, avocado, grilled seafood, and grilled vegetables.
I disagree with that. All of those are in the first rank.
I'm really okay
me.
With all those getting great, you know, put right into the top list.
Yep.
There. Yeah, I wouldn't put them in the next one just okay. So I'd say go up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just okay foods. Just okay.
Just okay.
Sweet potatoes, chips, grilled mushrooms, lamb chops, onions, bacon, pineapple, and grilled bananas.
Okay. The grilled bananas, sure. No, I'm okay with not that. But onions and mushrooms?
Yeah.
Those are in the top list. Come on. How can you have a steak without onions and mushrooms?
I agree with you, but I'm a little distracted, Melissa, because they put bacon in the just okay foods. Bacon in its history has never
been just okay.
Nope. No.
No. No.
How dare you? How dare you? I said, how dare you, sir?
What are you thinking?
That's messed up. And finally, the foods we're almost likely to pass up: coleslaw, rolls, pitas, grilled eggplant, grilled cauliflower, and grilled pears. I have never had any of those latter ones, the grilled eggplant, cauliflower, or pears. So I'm going to excuse myself from those.
Well,
I have never understood coleslaw.
I love a good coleslaw.
Yeah.
If it's good, but there's a lot of inferior coleslaws out there. So I could see how that could maybe make the list. But grilled eggplant, if it's done right, is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And grilled cauliflower, if you take an entire head of cauliflower and you coat it in butter or yogurt, and then you season the whole thing on the outside and you roast it, which I imagine you could also do on the grill, that is to die for. So I don't see how you could. I mean, obviously they don't have educated palates.
Yes. Apparently they just
nobody's don't. Prepared it right for them.
Yes, that's what's the problem. You know, that's the thing though that everybody says to me about their egg salad or their potato salad
yeah, or potatoes, mashed potatoes.
Yes, every single.
You just have a thing against potatoes, James. I don't know why.
I like French fries.
I know.
I like potato chips. I feel like those should count. I feel like they don't count. They don't count.
Not really. They're coated in oil, but okay.
There's no reason to be rude about it. The rudest cities in America is where we go next. That was the closest tie-in I had. If you traveled regularly, you probably have an opinion on which place had the rudest locals. Especially if you've, you know, traveled to certain states that show up on this list here. There's a new study out which looked into the rudest cities in America, but they didn't ask travelers. Instead, they surveyed 1,500 residents of the 30 largest metro areas in the U.S. and asked them about the rudeness level in their own city. I like the twist on that.
Yeah, they might actually know better since they live there.
So this is... you know, people from their own town talking about themselves. This is kind of I find that part very interesting, especially because I have the results in front of me here. And the Philadelphia Inquirer has already rudely interrupted to say that Philly isn't rude, even though Philadelphia was the number one on this list by far and away. So Philadelphians voted Philly the number one rudest one. But the Philadelphia Inquirer said it's not true. They say that Philly isn't rude. It's just honest and straightforward.
Okay. Yeah. Which can sometimes be interpreted as rude.
It can be. I think you save yourself of that if you have this little thing called tact. That's all it takes.
Yep.
So it always seems like the people that have no tact are the first ones to kind of like get at with that sentence. I'm not rude. I'm just straightforward. I'm just blunt. Or this, everybody is running into this person. I'm the most blunt person you know. Or I tell it like it is. Like, yeah, get in line, man. Like 90 people I know are like that. Like you think you're the only person. I tell it like it is. You're the only person that does this. Like,
yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah, there's more people that I know that say that than people that actually are like that. they share responses. They share a response from locals saying that the city is only rude if you're a baby, and they even point out that there was an iconic billboard in the city that said Philadelphia isn't as bad as Philadelphians say it is. It is called the City of Brotherly Love.
And that sounds like a little bit of wishful thinking, I would guess, maybe. If there's their own residents are saying, we're rude.
I have a couple of friends from that area, and it seems almost a little like something that they wear as a badge, too. Like, I wouldn't say proud of, but like...
Acknowledgement of.
Kind of one of those things like where... Even if you don't like something, you end up embracing it just because it's so, you know, societal. It's such a stereotype kind of thing. And you put the pushback on it. Say you were from Wisconsin, you weren't really, but you know, you're a huge Packer fan, but you're not a big cheesehead guy. You're not the guy that's going to walk around with a stone, you know, fake cheesehead or whatever. But you end up, because of like the rest of the world making fun of it or something, you end up embracing it and going all in. Like, you know what? I am going to wear the cheese hat.
Yeah, I got six of them now.
I'll show you. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. And we kind of do this in society, like especially societally very often. So here are the top 10 rudest cities according to their own residents. Philadelphia, Memphis, New York City, Las Vegas, Boston, Detroit, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Houston. On the flip side, Austin is the most polite city in America. San Diego is next, followed by Fort Worth, Nashville, Indianapolis, Chicago, Columbus, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, and Denver.
Wow. Nice.
Not a bad list.
No. We're pretty high up there in a couple areas.
Yeah.
Close to us, anyway.
I wanted to see, and it doesn't have the complete list here of as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. But as far as polite cities, I wanted to see if, like, Madison showed up in there or something, and I don't see them in those. The most common rude behavior in the U.S., being absorbed by by our phone in public, not letting people merge in traffic, not slowing down around pedestrians,
yeah,
being noisy in public, and not acknowledging strangers.
Yeah.
That I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of honorable mentions here. As far as being rude in public goes, or as far as what constitutes being rude, I'd say not holding the door open. That's a big one. How about how you are in line? Like, I can't stand. I know that the pandemic's over and everything. Everybody, I met Quick Trip the other day, and I got this guy who it's nine something in the morning, mind you, and he's already. I could tell he's had a couple because he can smell it on him. He reeks of it. Mm. Maybe he never stopped from the night before. I don't know. Mm. But this guy keeps there is not even an inch between us in line.
Just standing that close to you.
Right behind me in line. Yeah, like what is like if we were driving, he would literally be in the car with me if he was tailgating me. Like, what is going on with that? Wait, is this just a new thing that I'm like we're doing now? Because this is the third time in the past week that's happened to me. Where,
wow.
Like somebody like literally standing like just right
standing,
there. Like,
yeah.
Like.
Personal space, you know.
Just a little bit.
We all need a little bit of it.
I'm not huge about that, but in that situation, I mean, come on.
And they didn't really mention too much about driving. They said not allowing people to merge, but I would say more driving habits. People can be rude when they're driving.
Yeah. Next hour, we got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We got things that were socially acceptable in 2002 but aren't today. and some more fun stuff lined up for you on Mornings on WFHR.